All right, I'll try and use a Chinese metaphor. Everyone knows, if we don't know much about China, but everyone know one thing everyone knows is yin yang. And of course, Chinese food. But yin yang, the masculine principle, feminine principle, this symbol is so powerful, potent, and profound because it's based in reality. Negative, positive. We're so blessed that by our Guru Varga's mercy, they've helped us to understand something about the profundity of this divine combination. So I was just hearing Srila Guru Maharaj quote the famous Bhagavad slok, Acharyamam Bijaniyat Navamanyeta Karhichid, which we generally take Krishna saying, you know, see the Guru as my very self. But Guru Maharaj says something very interesting here. The word mom, Acharyam mom, he's saying that mom actually means my potency. See the acharya as my potency. What does he mean here? To say the potency, this is how I distribute myself. Krishna is also a distributor, right? He wants to distribute Krishna consciousness. Guru Maharaj wrote very beautifully in the beginning of Prapanna-jivanamritam, Guru Rupa Harim Gauram Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. In one line, very beautifully described. And it almost, you're just listening to the word, the Guru Rupa of Hari, the Guru form of God, the Guru Rupa of Hari is Gauranga. So if Guru Maharaj said, Acharya mom means my potency, then when he takes the Guru form, Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam, he'll be enveloped by the heart and halo, as Guru Maharaj like to say, of the one who loves him the most. That's what it's saying. Radha Ruchi, the kind of taste, what she appreciates about Krishna. We know, like we meet our friends, and you want to say, what should you say to them, how to appreciate Krishna consciousness? Sometimes Avadhut Maharaj and I have this discussion and we say, well, Atmagyan, the talk about the soul, that's kind of the beginning level. And that's true. There's a systematic way to present generic spiritual knowledge. But another route is that Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam means under the influence of what you like about it, tell that, share that with someone, right? That simple thing. When I asked the girl and tank number three in Calcutta at the Mat there, little girl was Bengali girl would come to our blog TV show. And I said to her once, because she's come, her mother would bring her, you know, and allow her and then take her home. And I said, what do you like about Krishna consciousness? And she said, everything. And I thought, what a beautiful answer. Because someone would think of one particular thing you like, or maybe she said, she couldn't think of one thing. She said, everything. I like all of it, beginning, middle, and end. And it's very deep philosophically. There are very deep spiritual books, the most ancient religious book known to man, the Rig Veda, it's there. It's in the Puranas, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, and so many places. But really, sometimes Gurudev would say very simply, heart to heart, that's what it is, from one heart to another. You mean the whole spiritual project can be summed up in one phrase, heart to heart? Yes. Tene brahma hrida adi kavaye muhyanti yatsuraya The Bhagavatam says it also in the very first sloka, Tene Brahma Hrida. It was revealed into the heart of Brahma. Not into the consciousness, his mental system, his intellectual ability. The guy was a genius, so he was selected. No. If it went to the heart, that means it came from the heart. Right? What is life about is a heart-to-heart transaction. From mother to child, friend to friend, lover to lover, etc. It's all about heart. When we look at the little dog, Milo, right? You know, he's heartless at times. But everyone's giving him so much affection and he's basking in that affection. But if you don't give it to him, then he'll be upset. Right? Because he's also a conscious being, Satchit Anandam. To exist is not enough. I mean, there was a popular song in the 60s called Alfie. There was a famous movie with that. But there was one line in the song where the singer says, without true love, we just exist. That's sat, to just exist, like a heartless stone or some inanimate object. And you say, no, cogito ergo sum, we're more than that. We're aware of our existence. Yeah, when you become aware of your existence, you become aware of pain also. One scholar, and by inference, the absence of joy is what I mean to say. One famous literary scholar in the West, he's quoting Shakespeare, this, that person, and the other, but he makes an interesting observation. He said, what do we learn from them? That memory is the authentic source of pain. Let's say that again. Memory. What it, and I'll put it to you, is the authentic source of pain. Like, if we did something pleasurable, we can remember that, but it won't make you happy, actually. You won't, if it was food or some other thing, you won't get the same joy that just by recalling that, you go, oh, remember that time we had that, you won't get the same relish. It won't come to you. What is the word in the etymological basis? Dina Sraya will know of. Nostalgia. Right? It means pain, the suffering of pain of remembrance of your home, your lost home, kind of. Like we say, back to home, back to Godhead. So, but on this point about memory being the authentic source of suffering, interestingly, but if you remember something very painful that happened to you, especially emotionally painful, it can be more painful than it was at that time. You can experience greater pain, greater heartache than you actually did when it happened. The joy, you cannot. You won't come close to that. But the pain can actually be magnified. You say, well, gee, that's, thank you. Thank you very much for revealing what we have to look forward to is more misery in our lives. We have a greater capacity to experience suffering. Well, but maybe, just maybe, there's some hope there if we invert this. So we're told again in the Bhagavatam, Bhayam dityad vinibeshi tat shat, what is the cause of all of our fear, our anxiety, our suffering? Viparyayosmriti. Forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna. Forgetfulness of our relationship with the one who every blade of grass moves according to their will. Forgetfulness of the person whose friendly hand is behind in the background of every karmic circumstance and every moment of our lives. So, what's the cure? Shrotavyas kirtitavyascha smartavyas chetchatabhayam. Again, that word, abhay, chase to abhayam. You'll become fearless if you can talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna, remember Krishna. But as we begin, by the grace of our Guru Varga, in our hearts, to awaken some remembrance of Krishna, that initially produces some joy, some relief. But in time, if a devotee makes progress, it produces some lamentation, which is why the spiritual experts have told us we can mine real wealth to the culture of separation. When one starts to feel disturbed internally in the absence of Krishna, starts to feel the pain of that separation, that pain will take the heart to a deeper region. What is the whole of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu? Internally. We're told externally, what is it? Bahiranga Sangekori Nama Sankirtan. With his devotees, they're engaged in Nam Sankirtan. It seems to be a very joyous occasion. They're singing, dancing, playing the mridangas, the kartals, going in procession, distributing Krishna Nam to others, increasing the ecstatic joy. Krishna Nama Siddhu Dhamma Danya Dana Sagaran. It's the ultimate gift, the abode of all nectarine substances. And it's a wonderful thing. It's the Yuga Dharma. Bande Jagat Priya Karo Yuga Dharma Palo. Anyway, Gornitai. That beautiful line from Bhakti, you know, Dial Nitai Chaitanya Bole Natsreya Marman. May Gornitai dance in my mind and my heart. But Antaranga Sange Kori Rasa Ashvadan. With his internal group, he's relishing something internally. Rasa Ashvadan. He's tasting this extraordinary, inconceivably nectarine substance. And what is the focal point of his pastimes primarily is where separation has reached its zenith. And those are two places. The Ratyatra, which is, as we were told in the beginning, taking Krishna, Jagannath, Dwarka Krishna back to Vrindavan, right? And the Uddhava Gita, where Uddhava has been sent to deliver a message to Radharani and Brajagopis, who are feeling intense separation from Krishna. These two areas, for, what is it, something like 16, 18 years, Mahaprabhu is celebrating the Rath Yatra, but publicly, he can be seen in his group, although expressing internal things. Last 12 years of his life, the deeper culture of the Uddhava Darshan, of the Brahmar Gita, Yadanu Charita Lila Karna Piyusha Viprut Sakrid Danda Viduta Danda Dharma Vinashta. Where Radharani says, if you hear a drop of this nectarine talk about Krishna, it enters your system through the hearing and touches your heart, you're finished. But what she means to say, I mean, she's speaking in inverted ways. Your connection with this world is finished. Dukalayam ashashvatam in the Gita, anityam asukam lokam, this temporary, miserable world, your long-term connection with it is finished just by coming in connection with a drop of this divine substance. So our Guru Varga, knowing this, as Guru Varga says, stane stita shrutikatam tanuvan manobir, Gyane Prayasamudapasanamanteva. Stop trying to Google divinity to measure him with, you know, technology, literal technology or your own technology, your intellectual and mental system. Right? Stane stita shrutigatam tanuban manobir. Hear about him from his devotees. We're told there's sat and chit, you're conscious of your existence, But once you become conscious, I said that painful awareness is the absence of joy, the absence of ecstasy, the absence of anandam. And so that sends us in search for that divine substance. The first book we made for Srila Guru Maharaj was called Search for Sri Krishna, Reality of the Beautiful. Beginning where he says, you know, Brahma Jigyasa, spiritual inquiry, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that's Vedanta. And we said, that is a dry thing. Krishnanusandhan, Rasa Jigyasa. Now is the time to inquire about ecstasy, happiness, joy. Interestingly, we printed two chapters first, just as a little test to show Guru Maharaj and Gurudev. And you know, it was very successful, right? So we go back to the printer, Mahayogi, and it was with Brahma, with Brahma. And no, that's when we picked it up. Right, we go back to reprint. Like, we'd like to reprint with you guys again. You did such a nice job. And they say, oh, we can't do that. I'm going, no, but you did a first-class job. The printing was good, the cover, you know, everything. They go, but we can't. My wife and I decided we can't do it. I go, why? They said, we read it. They were Christians. And so they go, we read it. It's like, it's too powerful. We can't, I'm sorry, sir. They wouldn't take our money and do the, and I said, I think it was a success.
We'll work. We'll work with you. We'll work with everyone
I said,
else.
Can you write that down so I can put it on the back of the book? So anyway, that point that Guru Maharaj is making is either directly or indirectly, whether it's yin-yang or Radha and Krishna, we're all indirectly or directly searching for Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful. He's that substance that fulfills the prospect of having consciousness. What does consciousness enable you to do? Feel, right? What does anesthesia do? Makes you unfeel. If you have to go for an operation, right? They need to anesthetize you. Why? That means that what it is actually doing is removing consciousness from that part of your body. That's why you need an anesthesiologist standing nearby. It's one of the most critical doctors in any operation, the anesthesiologist. He's going to bring you that close to death, which means what? The loss of consciousness, the permanent loss of consciousness, or the apparent permanent loss of consciousness. So he brings you that close. Why? The less conscious you are, the less you're able to feel. The less feelings you have. Right? So Krishna consciousness then, in its most expanded, optimized maximum, must be capable of expressing the deepest feelings. Like, women are often parodied, or like about being like, they have too many feelings, or, you know, being emotional, or all of these things. And I don't want to get into the whole thing about that. But actually, our goal is feeling and emotion, but spiritual feeling, spiritual emotion, right? That's what we're hankering for. The mistake we've made is thinking that we'll satisfy this irreversible, irrevocable aspect of ourselves by acquiring, controlling, and consuming things that are lower than us, that are lower than consciousness, like sat. They exist, but there's nothing really there, right, on a conscious level. So sat, chit, anandam, or as Guru Maharaj like to phrase it in another way, satyam, shivam, sundaram. We take that as the absolute truth as a whole. I mean, satyam, there's the truth. Higher than that, shivam, auspiciousness, but higher than that is sundaram, which represents, we're back to, beauty, anandam, charm. This is how Guru Maharaj, to conclude, this is how he came to his mercy over justice aphorism that he said he thought truth should be spoken under all circumstances and truth trumps everything. But then he heard that Vedic saying, you know, speak the truth that's pleasing, never speak an unpleasing truth, etc. And he thought, oh, it says, don't speak an unpleasant truth. This he had to wrestle with internally for a while until he realized, oh, yes, mercy is above justice. Sometimes we will suppress what is apparently true from a justice position to invoke the mercy principle. So he made that adjustment. Anyway, so Guru Maharaj identified so many of these things as the wealth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave to this world to somehow bring us in connection with this divine way of seeing things known as Krishna consciousness. Right? We are, when we say heart to heart, we're dependent upon the heart. Guru Maharaj says everything we have comes from the affectionate heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's what's descended into this plane. That if there's any substance to substantially in the Krishna consciousness movement, it can always be traced to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That means through our Guru Varga, to Saraswati Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji. How does it go in the song? What do you say? Chira Gaura Janasraya Vishwa Gurum Guru Gaura Kishora Kadasya Param Paramadrita Bhakti Vinoda Padam Pranamami Shada Prabhupada Padam. Here he says, Paramadrita, the most worshipable Bhakti Vinoda Thakur. Everything we have, the entire wealth of the Krishna consciousness movement, has descended through his agency. And just one other thing, because today is also disappearance of Haridas Thakur. Guru Maharaj said once, in kind of a light way, but he said, because Brahma, it's a saying, because Brahma in the Brahma Vimohan Leela stole Krishna's cows, and that's kind of like a malecha kind of thing to do, you know, like in America, in the Wild West, what was very punishable was stealing horses and cows. That was considered like the worst thing you can do, steal a man's horse or his cow, you know. All right, there you go. I mean, really, to this day, that's like, you don't do that. So, Brahma stole Krishna's cows, Govinda's cows, like, unthinkable to separate Krishna from his beloved cows. But it's called Brahma Vimohan Leela, and that's some very beautiful pastime. But there's always some parallel in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So Guru Maharaj said, because he did a yavana thing, like stealing cows, he had to be born, Brahma, born in a family of yavanas. This means non-devotees in general. So he appeared, again, it's the pastime to show how exalted he is. And an interesting thing to note about Mahaprabhu's pastimes, right? Haridas is a yavana, Ramananda is a shudra, Rupa and Raghunath and Sanatana are kayastas. So everyone, not everyone, but so many are seemingly outcast or outside the traditional caste system, and Mahaprabhu shining a spotlight on them. Ramananda's his Ragamarg Diksha Guru. He is the Kiba Vipra Kibra Nashi Shudra Kene Noi. That's spoken to him. You may be a Shudra, but Yay Krishna Tata Veta Se Guru Hoy. You know the science of Krishna? I accept you. It's divine. So Ramananda, socially unqualified. Rupa and Sanatan, Kayasta. Raghunath Das as well. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, Kayastas. It's what led to Saraswati Thakur saying when Guru Maharaj joined, Yad Yad Acharati Shrestha, Abhata Charja Brahman. He said, if men like this join, it'll actually be good for the prestige of the mission. Anyway, not to think like these things are all almost meaningless in modern times, but it just points to something that Mahaprabhu is always, he's going outside of the Brahmin, the caste system, as you normally understand. So some people would say, yes, Mahaprabhu is a communist. In Bengal, they like to say that. And Amiya Sindhu Prabhu, he saw in the communist headquarters down in Calcutta, they have like a picture of Lenin, you know, with tilak, garland every day, a guy, you know, ringing a bell, doing a puja, you know. Yeah, like Marx. Lenin, Marx, Engels, you know.
And they call Marxwada, Leninvada.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, like, yeah, Leninvad,
Marxvad,
you know, Hegelvad. There's something, look, even the Christian temples in South India, are they have to have yajna for the wedding, put the kumkum in the bride's hair, you know, otherwise people won't accept that you got married. They do yajnas in the Christian temples, you know, and arati is kind of there like with Jesus, you know, start with the feet, end with the thorns.
Some of their prayers in Sanskrit, actually, Christian prayers.
Yeah, I'm sure.
In Sanskrit.
So anyway, so Haridas Thakur, we're told, interestingly, remember Tulasi Dalamatrena, that where the power of a tulsi leaf and Ganga jal, Advaita, with his palms full of Ganga water and tulsi jal, he brought Mahaprabhu down. That's why, what can we say about Advaita Acharya? We don't know his glories truly, but, you know, Pancha Tattva Advaita Acharya, sometimes it said he brought Krishna's in the upper world, and said he heard Advaita's calls. You know, you get the thing. Sorry, but we can't come. That if your call is important to not with Advaita Acharya, direct line, right? He brings, not just to the phone, he brings Krishna down, Mahaprabhu down. So that Advaita chart, when they're waiting, they tell, like in Krishna, all the gods, goddesses to assemble before them as part of the Guru Varga. Haridas Thakur and Advaita Charja, they already began Nam Sankirtan. They're already doing it. Well, we're waiting for Mahaprabhu and all the devotees to get together. Advaita Charja and Haridas Thakur, they've begun. Nityananda and Haridas. Remember that section where Haridas is thinking Nityananda is going to get him in trouble? In the Chaitanya Bhagavat? He's saying, this Nityananda, you know, he's a little unusual. He's approaching like the most, usually if you're out on Sankirtan, you go for like someone who looks a little favorable, right? Nityananda is looking for the worst, most abominable sinner, murderer, like the worst. And Haridas is thinking, oh, you know, like what's going to happen to us? They're being chased out of the marketplace. Nityananda, he's got an idea, you know. How could we be here if not for the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu?
And it's on the can run easy and hard as an old man.
Right. It's like, wait, you know. And they're already doing their Nam Sankirtan when Gauranga Mahaprabhu is descending. That's why Advaita and Haridas. So he's just waiting, and that's when he goes with Sita Thakurani. We just celebrated her appearance day as well. And they go over and she names him baby Nimai, and it's very beautiful and sweet. But Haridas Thakur is very perplexing to understand his devotion to the holy name. We see his glories in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and some other places, how he preaches the glories of the holy name of Krishna. This exclusive, intense, unparalleled intensity about Krishna Nam. And I just like to remind everyone, it's not that he's just, you know, he's chanting some sounds. We take it that it's Shuddhanam, which means it's direct bhajan. He's serving. When he's taking the name, it's generating spiritual substance. Right? It's serving in the upper world. And so we're told that Haridas Thakur, who, you know, the Qazi tried to seduce him by sending a prostitute. And I thought about this, because the same pastime repeats twice. I thought, why? Second one comes when Mayadevi comes. Because someone could think, our minds are so polluted, we could think, oh, well, you know, maybe she wasn't that good looking, you know, the girl the guy sent. Right? Our mind will think, but that's not the ultimate test. The ultimate test would be Mayadevi herself. And that just, because this almost identical pastime happens twice. So first is the courtesan sent by the king, and he passes that test in flying colors. She becomes his disciple. But the other one is just like Sanatana's Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gurumaya said, the last sweet bullet enters the brain when Maya Devi herself comes before you. That when it said, and this is a very interesting line, it says, she was exhibiting feminine postures that would bewilder the mind of Brahma. Think about it. Brahma Haridas. As Brahma, he couldn't pass this test. But as Haridas Thakur, that same Brahma, as Haridas Thakur, and with Mahaprabhu's mercy, and Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, Maya Devi becomes his disciple. Illusion personified becomes his disciple. It's an inconceivable pastime. Anyway, there's numerous glories of Haridas Thakur, but ultimately, after a lifetime, it's heartbreaking. Every time you see some big happy gathering of the devotees of Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu will say, all right, everybody come for prasadam. And then the devotees come closer and then they go, where's Haridas? He'll be like at the front gate, you know, like, I'm unworthy, I'm untouched, don't let me pollute the other devotees with my association. They always like bring him a plate of prasadam afterwards. He lives at the Siddha Bokul. Of course, who are his roommates at the Siddha Bokul? There's no room, but who are the roommates at Siddha Bokul? Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Mahaprabhu stops by every day. So that Haridas, so unparalleled humility, unparalleled dedication to the holy name of Krishna, he's chanting every day. What is it? 3 lakhs Krishna Nam. And not 3 lakhs of noise. When Sagar Maharaj was joking with Guru Maharaj once, when Srirup Damodar said, making kalahol, he said, oh yeah, a lakh of noise. Lakh meaning 100,000. And it was a very funny moment. He said, yeah, not that. Ekalaka Nam means a particular quality. So we're talking 3 lakhs of Shuddha Nam. He's not a practitioner. He's not not trying to ascend. And anyway, so then that Haridas Thakur, he won't eat until he finishes 3 lakhs, 196 rounds. As he's getting older, Krishna Priya is ready to faint. As he's getting older, his body is unable to complete the task. And so he's thinking, like, devotees will come by and say, Haridas, have you taken... No, I can't complete my rounds. And they're Mahaprabhu, oh, you're getting older, you can reduce the number. Like, no, he can't. And then, but then we find out, what is really disturbing him? He's perhaps heard of Advaita Acharya's letter to Mahaprabhu releasing him, saying, what you came to give has been... You inundated the world with that divine substance. Now you're free to go in your internal culture. What Guru Maharaj called public service, private service. I mean, private culture. Then, so Haridas says, what's really bothering me, my Lord, is that I fear soon you will leave the world. And he had so much love for Mahaprabhu, he won't be able to tolerate it. And now we're back to that point about pain, the pain of separation, yielding a greater type of wealth than the joy of union. Saying his heart will not be able to bear that. He wants to leave the world before Mahaprabhu. Jadi gorna hoita tabiki hoita Kamone Dharitam Dehe Radhar Mahima Prema Rasasima Jagata Janatake. Such devotees, they can't imagine live a world without Mahaprabhu. Sometimes devotees will talk about other theistic systems, about this or that. Is it okay? Or how far is it okay? Or are we okay with this? But I don't want to speak against them, but just put it to you this way. You mean any system, whatever it is, that doesn't have Radha and Krishna, Nanda Yasoda, you know, Lalita Vishaka, Ruparati, Prasadam, the deities, Mahaprabhu, right? Like, who will be happy with that? How a devotee, that is impossible for them to be. They can, Guru Maharaj said, he's a man, if he was in Vaikuntha, would be a troublemaker. Right? The gopis are not happy seeing the four-armed Vishnu form. And then we want to talk about things that are lesser than that. Will devotees, what type of devotee are you talking about? Vasudev Ghosh can't imagine existing for a moment without a connection with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Even if you talk Krishna devotees, you know, and then the devotees of both, etc. Once someone is coming, Guru Maharaj says, Param Drishtva Nivartate is a reference on a deep level interpretation to Gaur Leela being superior to Krishna Leela. He's saying, and once you've had a taste of that, you cannot be satisfied. But they cannot be satisfied with Krishna Leela without the potential of Gaur Leela. This is a very beautiful thing. And actually, it's a secret. It's a key to how to understand who are the real devotees. And if we say, devotee of my devotee, really? Well, then that's an encrypted way of saying Radha Dasyam. There's no one has superior love of Krishna than Srimati Radharani. So anyway, that Haridas Thakur, and as I said, Vasudev, they can't imagine living without that. And Guru Maharaj would say, Vasudev Ghosh says, but I noticed for some time you were living without a connection with Gauranga. So then it must have been, you were anticipating getting this connection. That I can understand. That's the only thing you can understand. You were anticipating getting it. So it appears that for some time you were living without that. Otherwise impossible. Na prema gandasti dharapi mehoro. Same thing. Radharani Mahaprabhu. Can't live. What's the proof I have no love of Krishna? That I'm living. That I can live, that I don't break down and lamentation, and my heart can tolerate the pain of being separated from Krishna. It's a very mysterious thing. We're actually, that's where we're told we can culture our fortune, is feeling something for not being Krishna conscious. That disturbs the heart, minds, and souls of any genuine devotee, is to the degree that we realize we're, you know, not Krishna conscious, that we're separated, but there's some secret wealth. If that devotee says, still, despite that, despite my shortcomings, faults, offenses, lack of qualification, I have no other goal, no other shelter. I will hope against hope and pray for the mercy of the Lord's devotees that I can go on and an anticipation of this, I can live. Yes, I don't have it now, I know that. But in anticipation that by their grace, something may come to me, I can justify my existence. Anyway, that Haridas Thakur, he told that to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu sanctioned his leaving the world. The next day Mahaprabhu comes, and remember, all his life he's chanting 300,000 times, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. At the last moment, Mahaprabhu comes before him with his devotees. He takes the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu on his head and heart and starts chanting, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and leaves the world. And then Mahaprabhu picks up the divine form of Haridas Thakur, and devotees have a procession. He goes to the ocean, bathes Haridas Thakur, and he declares this place a holy place. When we were in Lakta with Srila Gurudev, he said something very mysterious. He said, yes, and because I think we were there once on this day, and Gurudev said, when Mahaprabhu bathed Haridas Thakur and said, this is now a holy place and it sanctified the ocean. He said, that ocean, actually, it touches all the other ones. He said, so all of them became holy and sanctified. So we know when we go to any major ocean in any part of the world, we're always going to, you know, there's something extraordinary about, like, you bathe in the ocean and you feel like purified or somewhat liberated. Gurudev was saying, the Haridas Thakur is so powerful, all the oceans of the world became purified and a holy place. So, and Gurudev's sitting in that little kiosk on the corner of the, you know, with his cane, looking out on the, what is it, the Baltic Sea?
Or even a gazebo.
Yeah, but he looks out on the sea. What is that? Finnish Gulf. So, I will finish on the Finnish Gulf. So anyway, then they have a big feast in his honor, and it reminds me of Srila Prabhupada on this date, Pusta Krishna, Prabhu was there. They had a major car wreck in South Africa, and Prabhupada had just put his cane like to the side. Prabhupada always had the cane. He just put it in a certain place, and it saved him from being, you know, finished by the car wreck. So all the devotees around the world, we were very scared. The news, you can imagine, like shook the movement. But what was interesting, after they got to the place where they're going, Prabhupada said, read from the passing of Haridas Thakur. And that's what they read. So it's a mysterious thing, a mysterious place. He's such an exalted personality, carried in the Mahaprabhu's own divine arms. They created the samadhi there in Jagannath Puri. We went, remember? And what used to be very simple when I first went in 1974, now is a major monument. But every Prema Dvani, when we say Jai Om Vishnu, we always say, Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. And so we say this on this day. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Tirubhav Mahamahotsava Titi Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande. And something to add, Maharaj?
Actually, when Mahaprabhu one feel that Leela is just about to begin, he called his associates and said, today you will see something you've never seen before. And everybody thought, well, you know, what kind of possible Leela can manifest? But as we know, according to Ramananda Roy, the most exalted separation, a separation
most
from,
unbearable yes, separation.
A separation from Vaishnava.
Yes.
So Mahaprabhu selecting Haridas, it's like final sacrifice. Because really, you know, as Gurudev said, up to last drop of blood, I should try to serve.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said to one of my Swami friends, there's never retired kamikaze.
Right.
It's not possible that one day
retire
I was
from the suicide squad.
Right, like, it was like, one day I was kamikaze, but I'm kind of retired. You know, looking at my plane, you know, yeah. The pictures, I remember my praise. So Srila Gurudev...
Guru Maharaj also said on that point,
yes.
If you fought in the war, yes. You should have a wound.
Right.
When we were kids and would talk to the World War II, Great Patriotic War veterans, we always, all the kids want to see, they lift up their shirt, they show you something. And if they don't show you something, you go like, what did you do? So Guru Maharaj is saying, if you're a member of Krishna consciousness and you don't get wounded from time to time, we wonder, like, you know, what level are you participating on?
Yes. One friend said, well, in our mat, sannyasis never fall down. I said, did they ever preach? Did they ever went outside of, like, door? So in this location, we can, in this case,
Gurudev said that to a Russian and Moscow on Janmashtami. Satya was there too. This is a perfect Russian question. And I said, if you take bath by mantra, do you have to take a regular bath? And Avadhut Maharaj said, Because right at that time, Russian cosmonaut got the world record for staying in outer space. And I would do it where I said, they like any job that doesn't require bathing.
I should have said, they constantly take baths with mantra.
Right. Well, so then that man said that to Gurudev. And they were talking about Brahmins, and Gurudev said, Prabhu. And he quoted this verse. I don't know the Sanskrit, and it's very it's about what you just said. He said, there is a saying that when a Brahmin crosses his threshold, that means your front door, when he steps outside of his house, he's contaminated. The only place he can control the contaminant is his house. He said, once you step outside, you're in the world of contamination. And to keep it on point, what does Guru Maharaj say about the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu? There is no greater disinfectant than the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Yeah. But continue.
And so Ramananda Rai, he's established the highest separation, and Mahaprabhu accept that. But then Mahaprabhu needs to show this. So normally we don't notice on disappearance of Mahaprabhu or Krishna. Actually, it's never part of our aim. But that one disappearance, because it's the most powerful divine. Remember, when you read Vrindavan Das Thakur, he will tell you what result you acquire by hearing particular Leela.
Yes.
Today with one lady devotee, we spoke about different, you know, Leela, and she was emphasized on, you know, Radharani's appearance. And I said, that's a wonderful thing, but there's certain Leela is indicated for us to be purified.
Right.
To prepare for highest. So speaking about what's allowed for us by hearing, like we can't understand Mahaprabhu departure, so we're not allowed to hear about that. There's no one actually find any divine nectar from like relishing. But the Haridas Thakur disappearance, specifically indicated by Mahaprabhu, specifically put in
Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela,
and describe in a very, very detailed, particular way. Right. So this is a very, very powerful scene, and the way it's actually an Antya Leela, they're actually preparing for Mahaprabhu departure, right, and Mahaprabhu pastimes.
The unspeakable.
So the ontologically, it's kind of a key, you know, because it's like in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing, if you go to a certain part of the book,
yes,
you know, and if you qualify it, you get it.
Right. So, on this point, there's a quote in the 11th canto, actually Nisringa Chaitanya found it once, that where it says in Sanskrit, the preferred method of teaching is by inference.
Right. Or,
like subtle, like allude, not telling it in great, like you say. Here, Haridas says, I hear you may leave soon. That's it. Then they describe his disappearance. Mahaprabhu's is left by inference. That's not going to be told to you. It will be too devastating. It's undigestible.
And was I really amazed by today's lecture? Because Goswami Maharaj begin, it sounds like he's not beginning from Haridas Thakur departure, he begin from pain. But then I can understand in a divine way, sometimes the most important part comes on the end, sometimes the important part comes in the beginning. So this pain of separation, just what Maharaj said is very, very important. By pain, it's purified by fire. It's not about expressing your appreciation, which you can only make a false appreciation,
right,
because you don't really have connection with Krishna consciousness. You don't know devotees. So whatever you will do, it will sound superficial.
Right.
Once it was a very interesting thing. Murleshwar, who we all know,
and love,
and now he's translating Madhusudan Maharaj. But he translates Gurudev Goswami Maharaj. So he met some, you know, devotees from our brotherhood or sisterhood organization. Mm-hmm. And they started telling him about Krishna consciousness. And you know what Murleshwar told them? He told them, what you're telling me right now is none better than cartoons. You know, there's like when you want to broadcast some story to children,
right,
you make a cartoon for them. You make it very primitive and very simple. But you know that the same story for growing adults could be big tragedy. Could be like big drama.
Yeah.
But the children, they can only have a cartoon representation of that.
Right. Hey, Krishna.
Maybe it's time. Prabhupada was not happy.
That was his pick? He's fine.
He's fine?
Yeah. It's on the other side.
Okay. Krishna's save us. But anyway, so what Maharaj has emphasized, what I really appreciate today, because immediately it gives some reflection to my mind. I thought, well, if pain, the most wonderful thing, if it's indicator of being sick, like the only way if like indicates you, like pain, if it indicates you're doing something wrong. But as Maharaj said, it also has to have some higher presence on spiritual plane. So when Gopakumar entered Goloka Vrindavan, he saw most miserable people he ever seen. And everybody were in soul pain because of the Kaliya Daman Leela. But again, that's kind of like you get from Sanatana Goswami, but starting with Haridas personality, you begin to love him. It's his humble approach, you know, his way behaving with Mahaprabhu. And then like you know, in a good movie, first you establish like a good soldier. But he has to die in like very middle of the part.
Yes.
And then you start lamenting about him. Because you see, well, he may not be the principal character, but he's some kind of a, you know, sincere guy that has
Think about it too. He could say, hey, I'm Brahma.
Right.
I created a universe. You know, I should be at the head of the table. It's a fact. He's taking an extremely humble position.
Right, which really shows what Vaishnavism is. So anyway, today with Ananga, we spoke what next animation will do Gopal. And I said, the next animation will do Brahma Vimohan Leela, because Brahma is stealing cows and calves. And then we end up this animation by millions of Brahmas coming to Krishna's palace and Krishna's showing.
Yeah.
So that would be very watchable, beautiful animation, because there's a lot of fly between planets, which is a perfect full dome scene.
Yeah.
And remember, in the very beginning of Garga Samhita, Brahma and others get complained by Bhumi.
About Govardhan? Oh.
By the Bhumi Devi, Earth.
Oh, yes.
And they're traveling by Ganga to the foothold of Vamandev.
Yes.
And they're entering Vaikuntha and they're passing to Goloka.
Yes.
And who meets them in Goloka is a girl with a stick, the gopi. Uh-huh. And she's asking, who are you? And they're like, we are gods. Yeah. And she say, yeah, I'm seeing you some kind of a gods. You're management of some universe, your management team. But can you tell me which universe you came from?
Yeah.
And they're like, they're kind of lost.
Yeah.
They don't even know name of their universe. And then they say, we don't know which universe we came from. And she say, like, let me check your computer. Tell avatars that recently descend, and then by our records we can understand. It's like Kinzadza, a famous Russian movie. It's like which universe you man from. So anyway, so it begins from very like establishing Brahma being so great by being like so in so many ridiculous circumstances. I mean, we can only call his circumstances are ridiculous, but we're considering. Well, we know something about Krishna consciousness, but Brahma, you know...
Right, he doesn't know.
So that's why Ramananda say, Gyani Prayasan Udapasya Namantayeva, he's quoting the Brahma himself.
Right.
And, you know, when you see Brahma in the form of Haridas, because at that time when he prayed to Krishna, he asked Krishna, say, okay, I'm really happy with your prayers, but what do you really want? And you know what Brahma say, and which is confirmed by Bhaktivinoda, he say, I want to be warm in Vaishnava house, rather be creator of universe. So it says in the scripture, if you have 100 lives of pure dharmic life, you might have a chance to become a Brahma or have some taste for holy name and become a devotee. And if you have some brains and like, because Brahma worship everywhere in Thailand, Haridas Thakur, nobody knows. But if you have the Sumedasa, the God-conscious mind, you'll say, I'll rather suffer greatly. And like Brahma showing, Harida showing, as Maharaj said, pain, this is the indication. His whole life is suffering. He's been crucified 24 times. It's not like one time.
Yeah.
It's like 24-time crucifixion, suffering from beginning on the end, finally going with Mahaprabhu, and finally realizing that he will not be able to bear separation. So the second, the secret comes, as Maharaj said, pain of separation, separation from Vaishnava, and then he understands, I cannot tolerate separation from Mahaprabhu. So that was his final decision point. So we know the last part of divine ecstasy is death. As described by Rupa Goswami, they're like...
The tenth stage of separation.
The tenth stage of separation is death. So, and you know, we think...
And the reason the gopis don't do that?
Yes.
Because they'll make Krishna unhappy.
Right.
See, it all works out in a particular way. So it's to be there, but they won't do that. They feel to do that. But realizing that'll make Krishna unhappy, then it defeats everything, so they resist.
But here in this Gaura Lila, everything hidden, because we understand it's Madhavendra Puri who's expressing certain sentiments. It's actually...
So Haridas gets Mahaprabhu's permission.
Yes.
It's not that Mahaprabhu just finds out one day.
Right.
Mahaprabhu gives some divine... Like, they're making a divine deal. He realizes how much love he has. He allows him to go on. And the pastimes are also going from universe to universe. It's
right, but we
a divine
can also,
cycle.
We can see the sentiments of Madhavendra Puri.
Yeah.
We can see sentiments of great Vaishnava, like Raghunath Das wants to commit his life, Haridas Thakur. So it's very much in concept. That's what I said to this new lady. I said, if you really study our Guru Maharaj and Gurudev, and Guru Maharaj specifically, his concept is union and separation.
Right.
It's not about meeting. It's all about total separation. It's actually opposite the way you think in certain Vaishnava missions. Certain Vaishnavas meeting think, oh, it's about meeting Krishna. Right. You know, like Krishna consciousness has nothing to do about meeting Krishna. That comes on the very end. The separation.
Right. Separation is like hunger. So it's a simple point, Guru Maharaj, and it's also from Ramananda Sambhad. When you're hungry, how much you will relish food. But if you have no hunger, you won't care for it. So, yeah, they'll say, no, it's about tasting. Yeah, if you have extreme hunger, how you will relish even the least part of it. But if you have no hunger, even being overwhelmed by it, it will have no interest in you.
Yeah.
So it all makes sense in an inverted way, in a divine way. So there's no relish in Krishna consciousness without a hunger. That means you have to first realize the painful situation we're in at present, being separated from Krishna. As long as being separated from Krishna doesn't bother us, cultivating Krishna consciousness is superficial. It's only for the devotees who start to feel something, feel the absence of Krishna, the absence of his devotees, the absence of all these things. That means their heart's going in the right direction.
What you've said, Maharaj, is very important. Beginning the pain and then saying, well, if you're a real devotee, what would be your sincere feeling? Like, do you think like, how you feel, Prabhu? I'm full in Krishna consciousness.
Right.
I'm in ecstasy at every moment. Hare Bol, Prabhu. You know, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Wait a minute. Let me finish my round. Hare Krishna. Hare. Yeah. Like, and some people think it's true because they don't know what's reality. And when Gurudev told a very funny story, when he was a child, you know, and he was a singer in Bengal. You know, his father was a singer, and you know, Gurudev, and he said he hang out with one Vaishnav Goshai, you know, like a Vaishnav guy from village. And they would go together to some festival, and there are many bavuks, the Sahaja Vaishnavas who would like, you know, and this Goshai who was Vaishnav, he's showing to Gurudev, You say, yes. Do you really like this man?
A different one.
Do you like this man? I think this man is really wonderful.
Bring me a new glass with water.
You know, this devotee, who was like a senior devotee, he would test Gurudev. He said, oh. You like this man? Oh. I think he's wonderful. Because, you know, and Gurudev, like, thinking, I don't like this man. But, you know, this Gosai, he would provoke him. He would say, well, right. Do you see how much this he has Krishna Pram? How he say, like, Krishna. You know, like, because, you know, you get many of it in Bengal. Like, it's part of the deal. As part of the festival, there'll be some guy who fool in Krishna consciousness, and then he smokes cigarette behind stage and think, you know, like, it was really amazing program today. So anyway, Gurudev told us many times that story. So because in Guru Maharaj's world, he doesn't trade with the false currencies. Everything he deal with has to be real, substantial, conscious. And what Maharaj said today, it's an amazing. Because if we wouldn't speak about pain, then how we can appreciate Haridas? It would be some kind of unconnected with human's feeling and heart. Because really, if someone will die, like our child, our friend, our brother, our sister, you know, at a certain point, we will not be able to like check our tears because these are the people we connect with. You know, if you ever went through, like I went through, you know, grandmother death, and I was there, but I couldn't stop crying at some point. I mean, it was just like such a deep appreciation of this person. And I'm not a sentimental person, but it didn't work out according to my mental plane. It just came out naturally. So the feelings inside heart, and they will come out naturally, and the separation is a great test. And this is the great Leela by which we celebrate, observe. It's actually a very interesting word, observance. So we're not really in, but we're observing from a particular side, and we're getting a little taste. And of course, you know, Maharaj is giving the depth. Yes.
You say about Haridas Thakur's position, and like we say, he was most confidential servitor, one of the most clear servitors of Mahaprabhu. And we say Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, and Santa Goswami is also Manjari. But Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma.
We're not told about his spiritual identity because Brahma is not a spiritual identity.
Yeah.
That's, you know, executive class jiva. What is his identity in the upper world? I haven't heard. Well, but again, when we, as Maharaj alluded to, when we hear different pastimes about different great exalted personalities, we should not think that we're somehow privileged to things that they don't know. They're playing a part of an, you know, so when we say Brahma, it's a convenient marker for Karma Misra Bhakti. That Brahma, what does it say in Brahma Samhita? He realized he's a gopi, right? So, but as Brahma means, you know, universe manager, it doesn't matter. There are many Brahmas. You may have been Brahma. Any one of us may have been Brahma at a time. So Brahma is always a marker. Oh, Karma Misra Bhakti. Shiva is a marker. Jnana Misra Bhakti. So, but we say, no, but Shiva, what about Gopesh? Those are other things, you know, Bhog Tyag, Bhakta Shiv. But so, the point is being made here, and Maharaj mentioned nicely the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Remember, he says, Kita Janmaho Jata Tua Dasa Bahirmukha Brahma Janme Nahiyash. The Bahirmukha, the four-headed Brahma. I wouldn't want to be, I'd rather be an insect in the house of a devotee. So, again, that Brahma, he's being taken as the Lord, the creator of a universe. When the creator of the universe takes a position in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, it's in a very humble, socially the least position. As he said, that's so good. Tadburi bhagyam iha janma kim apyatavyam. Where Brahma's saying, I want to be born as a shrub or a creeper in Vrindavan. So when he enters these pastimes, that's to show the way it shall always be. Who's in the highest position in the material world? He gets entrance to the least position, the most remote peripheral position in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But that said, by the grace of our Guru Varga, we come to understand many things about the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and ultimate internal identity and things. We should not think that these exalted souls who are playing these parts, do not have such identities. They do. So Kavi Karnapur and other places, they vindicated who's who and Gaur Lila, Krishna Lila, but I don't recall hearing the position of Brahma Haridas.
But also one interesting point. Krishna comes in one day of Brahma.
Yes.
That particular universe, you know, Krishna is coming with particular mission. In this particular mission at Brahma Vimohan Lila, he's performing a salvation of Brahma, as Maharaj mentioned. Brahma realizes his divine identity. So his darshan of Krishna, remember at the first time, darshan from word of Drishti, as Maharaj say, to see, he could not see him as God. I mean, of course it was Vimohan, mm-hmm. but so coming that, then also remember, he's got the position of Acharya, Brahma Madhava Sampradaya. He's not an ordinary person. He's also an Acharya. So as a great Acharya, he reappear and directing towards Krishna consciousness. If he say, you know, he could be a spiritual teacher of beginning of universe, his spiritual teachings, just what I said to one of our friends today, in time, spiritual teachings get refined. Just like iPhone 1, iPhone 2. Spiritual, you know, it says sometimes they diminished in yes. some people, but that's only outside of parampara. In parampara, they actually become revolutionary, progressive. And that's what I've said to this lady. I said Krishna consciousness has already a fifth wave. Like, was the first wave, like first iPhone 1, but you know, that was like when Prabhupada came. Then was the Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, and fifth wave. Like Goswami Maharaj is giving us like new wave of understanding. And you say, well, why Prabhupada wouldn't give that? Because it's a natural progress.
Yeah, and also we don't say when, Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunath, Bhatta, and Jeeva, you know, why didn't, they have different service. Sanatan Goswami is the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya. Rupa Goswami is the Rasa Acharya. Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojan Tattva Acharya. Jiva Goswami and Baladev, they're protecting the Sampradaya. It's different seva. Gopal Bhatta is doing a particular seva. And it's not one counsels the other or, no, it's in, what do you call it, in tandem, together they're working. So Prabhupada, what he did was perfect. And for that time, just gave the perfect amount of information and way of presenting Krishna consciousness that people could embrace and accept. Guru Maharaj, by his own acknowledgement, said he's giving secondary education. And what you learn in your secondary, it doesn't cancel your primary education, it's an extension of that. And we're here really trying to draw attention to these things. I'm trying to draw attention to things that I found over 45 years have stayed with me, from Prabhupada, from Guru Maharaj, from Gurudev, things that are somewhat unique. There are things that are shared, and then there are things that are unique to each one of them. We like to draw attention to that. And it's not that one cancels the other. They're vibhavs or extensions. It's a happy thing.
And also certain commentaries, let's say, given by Vishwanath, Baladev, they're given by Saraswati Thakur. But if you look at the Guru Maharaj, he could strictly take the points from Baladev, Vishwanath, Saraswati Thakur and give the confidential meanings of what they mean. So, and you know, somebody asked me, so what's the difference between Gita of like Prabhupada and Gita of Sridhar Maharaj? I said, well, I can tell you what my understanding. Prabhupada, he's a cycler teller. Because if I start explaining you things, this, I have to explain you that, and I explain you that, and I have to go like through the whole cycle, starting from one point. So Prabhupada's lecture is like endless cycle, where he's revealing more and more and more and more to you the truth, which is like, because if you don't understand this, you can't understand that, but you need to know this, that. It's a kind of particular way you're revealing things. But Guru Maharaj, he's not like cycling. He is targeting Gita towards Bhagavatam, and we target him towards Bhagavatam, towards Charitamrita, and then we're coming back to the Gita. So it's kind of, you know, like when in like a rifle, you have to have three things come together before you make shot, and you have a perfect shot. So it's just a different way. One is giving you cycler explanation, which require a lot of information, a lot of understanding, and one is direct your point, a very, very strictly.
Look, yes, even Rupa Goswami tells the story of when he's going to see Mahaprabhu, and he arrives in Satyabhamapur, right, this town. And he has a dream. Satyabhama appears to him, right, and says, don't, you have this drama. Make it in two. Deal with Krishna, you know, Vrindavan Leela and Dwarka Leela. Don't put it together, do them as two. Then later, Mahaprabhu says the same thing and he accepts it as a confirmation, so he produces Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava. Then how dynamic is that? Rupa Goswami, he's writing a book, Divine Appearance, someone's house. Make your book into two sections. So it's not like, is one cancel the other? But there was no flaw. It's just, it's something living, growing, developing. It's
different Krishna.
Right, exactly. But you say, well, why didn't he know that before? This is his pastime. He's writing it from his heart in a particular way, and then the heart of a dwarka queen comes down and says, keep Vrindavan here and do another book this right. way. So it's a very beautiful thing.
And in the value of these two leelas, you'll see they're contradict. They're not the same feeling. Krishna of Dwarka is one feeling, Krishna of Vrindavan one feeling. You can't mix it together. They meet in Siddha Ashram. You know, there's some meeting, and being so charmed, they're attracted by Radharani, and they're asking, can you do rasa dance once again? And, you know, Krishna's by his mercy allowed the bridge bosses to do rasa dance, and they're totally charmed. But then finally, Krishna sincerely tell them, and like the devotees tell them sincerely, well, what we show you, it's actually nothing compared to what is real. So,
yeah.
It has a lot of spiritual substance. Anyway, Jai Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj Ki, Jai Maharaj Yu. Started the fire of Krishna consciousness tonight, and it was amazing explanation about pain and separation, and just perfect.